Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, the man that brings you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I'm sitting here at my home on a Sunday evening. I hope you're doing well out there, listeners, and I'm very excited to bring you this edition of the PVD Cast. In fact, it's number 86. But before I get into the particulars of this episode, I'd like to mention real quickly how this episode came about and the reason why I'm so excited for it. As you probably listened to my previous episode, number 85, the rugby thug Trent Baker came on to talk about professional wrestling and his new endeavor, New Ohio Wrestling. Wait, what? You didn't listen to it yet? Well, shame on you if you haven't heard episode 85, you need to go back and listen to it. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal episode. But I digress. Let's get back to the topic at hand, which was my last episode. And one of the topics covered on that edition was, of course, New Ohio Wrestling's big event happening January 23rd in Groveport, Ohio at Groveport Madison Middle School Central, that's out there on East Main Street in Groveport, Ohio, 7 o'clock is the bell time. Talked a lot about that show, and so off air I had said to Rugby Thug, I said, hey, man, I'd like to have somebody else come on that's on the show to come on and talk about it, and also talk about professional wrestling. And so Rugby Thug said, well, who would you like? And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of folks that I've already had on this podcast, but there's one individual that interests me, and it interests me because, well, quite frankly, I know he's kind of a new guy to professional wrestling. He's only been wrestling 2 years. And that individual is the Last Singh Warrior, Joshua Singh. He's a competitor from the, Cleveland area, or the Northern Ohio area, that has been wrestling for a couple of years. And I just wanted to get him to come on and see if his perspective, if his ideas on independent professional wrestling are very similar to some of the other individuals that have been on here. You know, I mean, let's be honest. I've been doing this 14 years. Some of my guests have been doing this 10 years, 8 years, 6 years. You know, and you get a little bit jaded. You get a certain mental picture of how indie wrestling is. And so I wanted to go the other way. I wanted to see if Joshua Singh has that same ideology, if you will, or if maybe there's a great difference behind his ideology, his philosophy of indie wrestling, compared to some of the more, quote, veterans of this industry. So Joshua and I sat down via Skype. We talked about professional wrestling. We talk about the big show coming up, NOW2. He's got a big match with a man that I know very, very well, Big Guns Jeff Cannon. And we just talk about a lot of different things, so I think it's definitely going to be an interesting episode. You definitely got to stick around and listen to it. But before we get into that, I do want to mention one more time, I want to thank Ben Sound and Incompetech, the two websites where I got some great royalty-free music. I really appreciate the opportunity to have some sweet music here. You know, as I said, trying to freshen things up for 2016. Almost said 2006. 2016. So I appreciate those two great websites, and if you need some royalty-free music, I would definitely hit up either one of those websites. And there's links to them right over on pvdcast.com, so if you're interested, just click over there, and it'll take you right to where you need to go. But speaking of the website pvdcast.com, let me tell you about bluehost.com, because it's the official web hosting service for the PVDcast. Bluehost offers great customer service and competitive pricing. In fact, I just saw the other day that they slashed their prices again. So if you need a website, you definitely gotta get it on Bluehost's hosting service, because they're top-notch. I can't put them over enough. Definitely head on over to Bluehost.com to get all the information that you need so that you can have a sweet website and have it hosted by a pretty sweet company in itself. So with that being said, I'm going to throw it to real quick break, and on the other side of that break, you're going to hear my conversation with the Last Singh Warrior, Joshua Singh. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am sitting down with the Last Singh Warrior, Joshua Singh. Joshua, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad, man. Not doing too bad. Of course, we're kind of doing this via Skype because you're up in the Cleveland area. I'm down here in Columbus, but I appreciate you coming on. And let's get started with the question I ask everybody that's involved in professional wrestling. How did you get started in the biz?
Well, I mean, just like everybody else, obviously I was watching wrestling all my life. When I was about 5 years old, my older brother introduced me to it. And then, I mean, in high school, I always kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And then so when I graduated high school, I just looked up, you know, schools in my area, and I actually went to Mega Championship Wrestling, their training school in Elyria. Graduated from there at about 7 months in, started wrestling. The course was a year, so I was still training when I started, like most people, but graduated from there. And then actually as soon as I graduated from there, AIW in Cleveland opened up a school. And, you know, I was always a fan of Johnny Gargano, watching indie wrestling. So as soon as that opened, I took advantage of that and joined that school as well. And then I graduated from there last summer. So that's really how I got started. I mean, I was a fan of indie wrestling in, you know, in the local area in high school, so I kind of already knew that it existed. And I kind of always knew that's what I was going to pursue.
What, if I may, could I ask what maybe some of the differences were between Mega's wrestling school and AIW's? Were there a lot of differences, or were there just subtle differences between the way in which they went about training guys?
I think for me personally, me and my friend Alex Daniels, who's also a popular wrestler in the area, both of us, we went to both schools because our situation was a little bit unique. When we started at AIW, Johnny and the AIW guys, they already knew that we had just graduated from Mega. So Johnny didn't really take us through a lot of the basics like you would when you first started. So we kind of went there and kind of were able to just ask him questions and more pick his mind and stuff like that and to learn more advanced stuff. But if you were going into – if you're going in fresh to both schools, there's not that big of a difference. They're both great schools. You know, you're going to learn the basics, you know, essentially the same way. So not a lot of huge differences there. But for myself personally, going into the AIW school second, it helped having that background knowledge because I was already able to be a few steps ahead and learn some advanced stuff with Johnny.
Okay. Okay. If I may, while doing some research, I stumbled across a small interview that you gave for AIW. And in it, you mentioned the fact that as a fan, you just were determined and you were motivated to become a professional wrestler. And you mentioned that in high school, that didn't make you very popular, so to speak, correct?
Yeah, I mean, as with anyone who has a you know, weird dream like this, you know, whether it be a professional wrestler or a famous actor or a famous athlete, anything like that, I think growing up, you're always going to have people not really taking you seriously.
Sure.
But I think more so in the case of a professional wrestler, it adds that extra layer of doubt because it's not something that a lot of people want to do. You know, growing up, a lot of people want to play in the NFL or a lot of people want to, mm-hmm. you know, play in the NBA or be a famous actor. But when you tell people you want to be a famous pro wrestler and you're 16 years old, not a lot of people take you seriously.
Sure, yeah. And if I may real quick, just, you know, I that resonated with me. And because I think that as a kid myself, I loved comic books. I loved pro wrestling. I was not very popular in high school, and I could totally empathize with that. And in fact, dare I say, maybe wrestling was a way for me, like my love of professional wrestling was my way of coping. Would you say that's the same for you, or was it a different scenario? You just used it as straight motivation to achieve your goal.
Well, I think it's kind of the same. I mean, my mom would always tell me when I was younger that whenever wrestling would come on TV, it didn't really matter what else was going on or if I was doing anything else. I would always sit there and kind of zone out when I watched it. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be very hyper or anything when I watched it. I wouldn't like freak out, you know, when cool stuff would happen. I would just sit there and, you know, just take it in. And I think I've always been like that. So whenever I start watching wrestling, whether I'm at a show, watching the show, or I'm watching it at home or anything like that, it's kind of just like my way to mute out the rest of the world and the rest of, you know, my problems. And not that I have, you know, a hard life or anything, but everyone has their own problems.
Right.
It's
right.
Just my way of muting that all out and you know, just enjoying myself.
Cool. Have you ever run into anybody that doubted you and you got to say, hey, look at me now?
Yeah, I mean, not that I've necessarily, you know, made it really big or anything, but
oh, right, yeah, but you know, I mean, definitely, you know, you proved some people wrong.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my parents were divorced my whole life, so I lived with my mom, and she was always really supportive. But my dad, you know, he never was, and you know, I have a good relationship with him now. You know, I love him obviously, but you know, growing up, he never supported my decision or my dream of doing this. I remember one conversation in particular when I was close to graduating high school. I was on the phone with him, and he was like, you know, what are you gonna do? And again, I love him, and I have nothing against him, but my dad works for Frito-Lay, and he works in the warehouse, and he's worked there his whole life. That's all he does is works and comes home and goes to sleep and works, and I just knew that I did not want to do that. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm going to go train to be a professional wrestler, and he kind of just said, well, I support what you want to do, but I'll tell you right now, that's not going to happen. And I think that conversation really just gave me more motivation than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you will, let's go back a little bit back to your training. Cause, you know, with myself, I've been to the Big Guns Wrestling Academy, you know, to do work or whatnot. And I've noticed that there tends to be always one maneuver, one thing that gives guys some trouble when they are training. And you being a pretty athletic dude. And for real quickly, anybody listening at home, if you have never seen Joshua Singh wrestle, definitely go on YouTube and check it out. Because, you know, I mean, I think you would admit, Joshua, you're probably not the ideal prototype cruiserweight, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair to say. But man, you pull off some amazing stuff in the ring, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But like, was there one thing that kind of gave you trouble when you were training, whether it was at Mega or at AIW?
Well, first off, I appreciate that.
No problem. I mean, I'm speaking honestly, you know, it's something that is impressive for a dude that's your size to pull off some of those moves. That's impressive, hands down.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that always got to me when I first started, you know, I could do, even though I've always been a little bit heavier, I could do the flips and I could do the athletic stuff. For me, for whatever reason, I always had trouble at first with falling backwards onto anything besides the mat. So, like, I hated taking a backstabber, or I hated taking, you know, any type of back bump on maybe the ground or a foreign object or anything like that besides the mat itself.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why, I just couldn't. And then one time, a lot of things in wrestling, I feel like you just have to do it. And one day I just did it, and then I was fine.
Well, hey, you know, all right. Well, real quick, let's just go back real quick because, again, talking about your athleticism, you know, You've busted out a 450. You've done some corkscrew moonsaults. How did you discover you could do that? Were you just messing around one day at the training centers, or have you always kind of been athletic? Maybe before you got into wrestling.
Well, actually, in middle school and more so in high school, me and my group of friends, we all were very interested in you know, the art of parkour and free running.
Okay.
And that's kind of where it all started. So in high school, and even now to this day, but more so in high school, I would go to a lot of gymnastic centers, you know, and just teach myself how to do flips and things like that. So then when I started wrestling, you know, when I was training, I never like whipped anything like that out. But then one day, before actually my first match, me and Alex were just messing around in the ring, like doing flips off the turnbuckles and stuff. And someone was just like, oh, you ever tried a 450 splash? And I was like, no. So then I just did it. And I was like, well, you know, just like with the other thing with taking the bumps or whatever, you know, I did it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I can do that. And then from there, it just, you know, it's expanded. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Alex Daniels, because he is a friend of yours. He's a childhood friend, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you both got into this wrestling business together. And then you've had a little bit of a rivalry throughout AIW and other promotions up north. So, Is it tough to wrestle your good friend? I mean, from whatever aspect you want to answer that question, whether it's, you know, he knows you very well, or because you have that emotional bond, is it tough to wrestle somebody that, you know, you're close with?
I wouldn't say it would be tough.
Okay.
I mean, first off, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Because
all right.
Regardless of, I mean, obviously we're always going to be, you know, as safe as we can.
Sure.
But when I get into the ring with someone that I don't know, if I just met someone that day and I'm getting in the ring with them, I don't know necessarily how this guy wrestles, you know, stuff like that. With Alex, I know what he's going to do, and I know I can go my full 100% and not worry about hurting myself or him hurting me or anything like that. So it's just that extra level of security that gives me the motivation to push it that extra mile when I'm in the ring with him. And also, you know, especially when you're just starting out, having that person there that you can go into the ring and put on a match and go as hard as you want, and know that the guy in the ring with you is in the same exact position as you are and wants to do the same things, it really helps.
Okay. It keeps pushing you guys, a friendly competition to rise to the top, so to speak, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about a philosophy, if you will, because I've noticed that, you know, definitely you have worked a lot of different places, AIW, Mega, Alpha One Wrestling, Black Diamond Wrestling, NWA Midwest, just to name a few. What's your opinion of working lots of places? Because I know it's a philosophy that many, dare I say, veterans have. So what's your philosophy on working lots of different places? Like, why do you think it's beneficial? Why do you think it's beneficial, et cetera?
Well, I think it's definitely beneficial. The one thing I would just say is when you get into wrestling, everyone has different goals, or at least different minor goals. I think everyone has the same big goal, which is to, you know, wrestle on WrestleMania, but I think everyone has different little goals, and one of my little goals when I started wrestling was just to wrestle as many places as I could, because no one can take that away from you. So I never may make it to WWE, but I've wrestled in Canada, and I've wrestled in Chicago, and I've wrestled in New York, and if I stop wrestling tomorrow, I will forever be able to say I did all those things. So it was always one of my number one motivations to travel as much as I could.
Do you pick up little nuances? Do you learn a lot when you're working different areas? Because obviously, you know, there's not a territory system anymore in wrestling, but I guess the indies right now are kind of the territories, because you got to learn different cities have different likes and dislikes. So have you learned a lot by wrestling in different areas?
Yeah, I've learned a lot. Definitely, you know, places. You know, a lot of the in-ring stuff with the internet, I feel like now, a lot of it's assimilated, so I feel like a lot of wrestling is the same in different parts of the country because, you know, different from back then, now, if someone lives in Chicago, they don't just have to watch the wrestling in Chicago. They can go on the internet and watch any wrestling they want. So a lot of people have adopted the same styles, so I wouldn't say, you know, the wrestling is completely different. I would say the number one thing I've learned from traveling is just locker room etiquette. I mean, you may be wrestling in Cleveland and, you know, act a certain way towards people and it's okay, but you can't go to a new place and act that same way, regardless of how long you've been wrestling. I mean, I haven't been wrestling very long at all, so I'm sure the microscope is on me even more when I'm in a locker room, but I'm sure anybody, you know, you meet a lot of different people, and although we all have the same weird obsession with professional wrestling, everyone's different, so you just have to be aware of that, I guess.
That, you know what, that's a very good point that you make, because I think that that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know and don't realize, that there is an etiquette to how you conduct yourself backstage. That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. And now, if I may ask, were some of your mentors helpful in that, like Johnny Gargano or in Mega? Who was in charge of the – because I know Jeff Traxler runs Mega, but was he in charge of training as well?
Well, no, when I trained there,
okay,
it was someone named Joey the Snake Hernandez, who actually has retired since then. He was just a local wrestler in Cleveland. But okay. Right now, it's being run by Brandon X, who's another wrestler in the area.
Yeah.
He helped out with my training as well.
Okay. So did one of those guys, you know, help you out with understanding the etiquette, obviously, right at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, Joey especially didn't travel a ton. Mm-hmm. The one thing that he helped us out with and told us was just that, which, you know, I still, like, you know, I consider to this day, every time I wrestle somewhere new, he said, regardless of whatever you do, if you do nothing wrong, there will still be people that don't like you, just because that's how people are. So you just have to be the nicest you can be so that, you know, no one has a reason to not like you, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense, and that's really, really good advice, and may I say, advice I have not heard, to be honest with you. So that's a very good one, is to be as nice as possible. All right. Any other tidbits about locker room etiquette?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, you know, kind of said some of the same things. I mean, he said just, you know, obviously always be nice to people, always be considerate, and just, you know, make sure that whether it be even a fan or a promoter or a booker or a wrestler, anybody, when you're traveling, when someone meets you and has a first impression of you, you want them to leave that with a good taste in their mouth. So just always be considerate and nice to people and things like that. So, I mean, a lot of that advice. I mean, I'm sure you'll hear that in any business, really. But I think it really stands out, and it's something that a lot of people, a lot of people take seriously in this business. I mean, if you're not nice in a locker room, I mean, why are you there?
No, and you know what? I kind of agree with that. That professional wrestling is based on this idea of respect, and I think more than any other business, you can't get away with not showing respect. It's not tolerated. So, all right, let's talk about another rivalry. I know that you've had a rivalry with a gentleman named Graham Wellington. I know that you two have kind of gone back and forth a little bit. So let me ask a question. Why do you think that you have such a rivalry with Mr. Wellington?
Well, Graham, the thing with me and him, which I think is very different from me and Alex, which is why I enjoy wrestling him a lot, is because, you know, me and Alex and, you know, a lot of other younger wrestlers, we have that faster paced style.
Sure.
That some people don't like, but, we wrestle faster paced, you know, we do high risk things like that. With Graham, he's a great athlete and a great wrestler, but he respects himself and knows that he doesn't have to do those crazy things to still be a great wrestler. So when I'm wrestling him, it's one of those few times where I myself have to adjust the way I wrestle, to compete with him. And that challenge is very fun.
Okay. And then, you know what? Let's just talk real quick. You mentioned that, you know, and we've talked about it, you have a very high flying, high octane type of wrestling style. Do you think that you're just one dimensional, or do you actually have other like avenues that you can go? Like, you know, we talk about ring technicians and guys that can brawl, that guys can technical wrestle and they can high fly all together. So do you feel comfortable with your skills in various different forms of wrestling, if I may ask?
Well, I definitely wouldn't like to believe that I'm one-dimensional.
Okay.
As much as in some areas that may be true.
Okay.
But I would like to believe that I base a lot of how I wrestle on who I'm wrestling that night. So if I'm wrestling Alex, you know, Alex Daniels, you're going to see a lot of crazy stuff. If I'm wrestling Graham Wellington, I hope that I can show that I can also wrestle very technically and sound, and things like that. If I'm wrestling, you know, if I were to ever wrestle Colt Cabana, I would like to think that I could adapt that style as well. I think it's all just about adapting what the crowd wants to see and what your opponent is like as well.
You know what? That's a good point. Very good point. And I think some of my listeners have heard that same statement many times with other gentlemen who have been on this particular podcast that, yeah, knowing your audience is the biggest battle. And I think that you just nailed it right there. Yeah, definitely adapt to what the audience wants to see. You know what, though? I will mention it just out of curiosity. I do see that you do like to trash talk a little bit in the ring. I've seen a couple matches where you like to do that. Is that part strategy, or is it just something that happens because you're trying to entertain people or trying to entertain yourself or what? Like, is it just a happy accident, or do you purposely do it?
I think that, the number one thing to me that I always try to remember is when I'm wrestling, I want the fans to have a good time, but I also want myself to have a good time. So sure. When I'm in the ring, although I want to put on a great match, I'm also going to make sure that I'm having fun. And I just do a lot of things in the ring, whether it's trash talking or making weird gestures or, things like that, that can make me laugh, afterwards when I'm looking back on the match or on my 3 or 4 hour ride home, I can laugh about it. So I would say I definitely do it. Not that I do it on purpose or intentionally. It's just me letting loose in the ring. Because, wrestling is the one time, again, where I can forget about everything else in my life and just have a good time.
Gotcha. Now, many people have always stated that, your best wrestling characters are yourself turned up a notch. So is that true for you?
Yeah, I would say so. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a very sarcastic person, which I think, most of my generation is.
Yeah.
But, I would say that it is. But I definitely still think that I'm very much still a work in progress. I don't think I'm anywhere near completing what I should be as far as my character in the ring or my in-ring work. So
okay.
I'm definitely still a work in progress, but I would say when I'm out there now, I just try to be myself.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's go back a little bit to your childhood. You said that you were an avid fan, and did you say that your brother got you involved in it? Like, he started showing you wrestling, and that's when you started becoming fascinated with the sport, correct?
Yeah. I mean, actually, what's pretty funny is before I ever watched it on TV, my brother would actually play the games with the video games with me because he didn't have anyone else to play with, you know.
Okay.
So we would, I would play, you know, No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000 on the N64 or, you know, SmackDown 2 on the PS1.
Okay.
So when I did start watching on TV, I was so young that it was almost like surreal to me because it's like I played with these characters in video games and now they're real people on TV. It's like imagine like playing a Mortal Kombat game and then someone all of a sudden being like, hey, look, Mortal Kombat's on TV and it's a real thing. It's like, you know. It blew my mind.
Yeah, okay. So who were some of your favorites growing up?
For whatever reason, my favorites probably were Kane and Jeff Hardy at first, which is so odd because they're two completely different people.
Dude, that is an odd combination.
Yeah.
What about Kane? Was it like kind of the character itself because he was larger than life and kind of a demon in that? Do you think that's why or...
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because at the time, you know, he was still wearing the mask, because it was about 2000, 2001 when I started watching, so he was still wearing the mask, you know, he was like, I liked him because he was such a character,
mm-hmm.
And then as for Jeff Hardy, I just obviously liked his style, because at that time, that was so innovative.
Sure, most definitely. Was there anybody else?
Growing up, I would say those were probably the main two.
Okay.
Once I got a little bit older... Mm-hmm. And I started, you know, branching out, watching more wrestling. I really became a big fan of, you know, the X Division. People like AJ Styles and Petey Williams and Chris Sabin were a lot of my favorites. I've actually gotten to wrestle Chris Sabin, so, you know, that was kind of a small little bucket list check for me.
Was that was it kind of surreal when you found out that you were going to face Sabin? Were you like, whoa? Or, you know, did that happen later, like after the match? You go, wow, man, I just wrestled Chris Sabin.
Well, I mean, it was definitely a first. What a lot of fans, I think, don't realize is when you're wrestling for someone a lot of times, you don't know what you're doing. There's a lot of times where I'll find out who I'm wrestling when the match card gets posted online.
Yeah.
And that was one of those situations where I knew I was booked, and I looked at the match card that I was tagged in, and I'm like, oh, I'm wrestling Chris Sabin. That's pretty awesome. And then, you know, so... It was definitely one of those cool things. I mean, in the ring, you try not to let it affect you, you know, whoever you're wrestling. But it was definitely surreal.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about a show that you're going to be on here that's coming up in the Columbus area in a couple of weeks. Of course, I'm talking about New Ohio Wrestling, their second event, Now 2, as they're calling it. So you have a task ahead of you to try to become victorious over Big Guns Jeff Cannon. So what are your thoughts about facing Jeff Cannon? And he's a man that I know very well. He's a good friend of mine, you know, and I obviously, you know, we have a long history. And so what are your thoughts about facing the Big Guns?
Well, to be honest, it's definitely going to be a challenge. The last time I was there, I wasn't on the show,
mm-hmm.
and that made me pretty angry. So okay. I rode up there with Alex Matthews, who was on the show and wrestling Jeff. And so I decided to come out and say my piece after their match, and I happened to beat down Mr. Cannon. And I guess that, you know, made him angry. I kind of understand that. That would probably make me angry as well. So I'm sure he's going to be pretty furious coming into our match. You know, he's a big dude. I'm probably going to get beat up. But at the end of the day, regardless of how beat up I'm going to be, my main goal is just to make sure he's beat up even more. So it's definitely going to be a different match than I'm used to having, but I'm glad to face the challenge.
Well, yeah, and he's got 20 years coming up this year. I think in March it's 20 years. He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. So if I may give you some advice, if you think you have something that might fool him, my man, he's seen it all.
Well, I believe you. I mean, it's funny sometimes when I'm wrestling someone who's actually been wrestling longer than I've been living. It definitely it definitely posts a challenge. But
sure.
I'd like to think that being youthful helps a little bit as well. You know, I mean, I haven't been beat up as much. I don't wake up as in much pain the morning after I wrestle. You know, just little things like that to where I think being youthful and being young can help you a little bit. So
yeah, you got it. Well, let's take a little side tour, if you will, a little detour, I should say. Excuse me, because I noticed that you have started to post your own movie reviews on YouTube. Can we talk about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I love movies too. I thoroughly enjoyed your review of The Forest. But may I ask, why didn't it get an F? It got a D-. Why did it not get an F?
Yeah, I mean, first off, let me say that I'm glad you probably enjoyed watching my review more than I enjoyed watching the movie.
Oh, wow, it was that bad, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty. Well, you know, the thing with me is, I'm pretty harsh with horror movies because, you know, I like horror movies. It's just so rare that there's a good one, at least, like, you know, in modern day. I don't know why, but it's like,
you know what?
That's
a question I ask all the time, too. Now, I will state I'm not a huge fan of the horror genre, but I agree with you. I think that it's very rare to find a really good one nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Especially one that's made by a big studio. You know, you'll find one once in a while. Like, I liked last year, I really liked the movie It Follows, but, like, how many people saw that movie? You know, like, just weird things like that. But, yeah, I mean, I started doing movie reviews, to be honest with you, I love movies, obviously, and I see probably two or three a week. So I just thought to myself one day, I'm bored, I like movies, I want to tell people what I think about them, so I'll just put it on the internet and see if anyone cares.
Well, I mean, at one time I was also right around like one or two a week I would catch too, but unfortunately life sometimes, you know, has gotten in the way. But you talked about your most anticipated films, so let's talk about a couple of them because interestingly enough, I have a couple that I share with you. So right off the top, you said you're very excited for Suicide Squad. That's your number one most anticipated movie. So maybe for some folks that are listening at home, why is that your most anticipated movie of 2016?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest reason, like I said in the video, I mean, I based a lot of it off the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
The one scary thing about that is I feel like a lot of times in this day and age, it's much easier to make a 3-minute trailer, you know, look good than make a 2.5-hour movie look good.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first saw that trailer, when it was first leaked from Comic-Con, I thought it was okay. And then right before I was making the video, making my list, I went back and watched all the trailers. And for whatever reason, seeing that trailer again, I mean, it just, when you compare it to all the other superhero movies that are coming out, it just looks the most unique. And it looks the most, in my opinion, there's the most mystery to it. I mean, obviously, Batman vs. Superman is going to be awesome. But you kind of know what you're getting. They're going to fight, and then they're going to make up, and that's it.
Yeah, so. and I'm going to, again, I'm going to agree with you on something you said on that particular video about Batman versus Superman. I think they gave away too much in the second trailer. I totally agree with you on that one. And I think that's dampened my enthusiasm for it, coupled with I'm not so sure about Ben Affleck as Batman, I must confess. I like Ben Affleck. I do think he's a good actor, but I'm a little bit nervous about him being Batman. I'm just going to throw it out there. The one I'm most excited for was your number two, was Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will confess I'm a big Deadpool fan. I'm a comic book geek. I love Deadpool, so I'm very excited for that one. But that's mine that I cannot wait to check out, which I think comes out on February 12th. So I'm very excited for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for that, too. The only reason it wasn't my number one, because I highly considered it, the only reason for me is just, I mean, just to be honest, I just don't know that much about him. I'm not that much of a fan of him. So, I mean, the trailers look awesome. The movie looks hilarious and great. But I just don't, I guess, have as much invested as a fan would, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It makes perfect sense. And then my other two were on your list as well that I'm very excited for. Captain America Civil War looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think X-Men Apocalypse is phenomenal as well. That gave me goosebumps watching it. And I will give you a tip of the hat too, sir. I was completely ignorant of Midnight Special.
Oh yeah, it looks pretty awesome. I mean, it's one of those movies that just like I have heard nobody talk about, and I just so happened to see the trailer, and I was just like, well, that looked awesome.
Yeah, it looks great. Like, after watching your video, I was like, I went right to Apple Trailers, and I'm like, I'm looking for that one. And it was on there, and it looks very intriguing, like very, it looks deep. It looks like it has multiple layers to it, and that's what I like, you know, especially from my point of view, that's what I would like, is something that's not so just spoon-fed to you. So, anyways, yeah. I also have another movie that's very, that I'm very excited for, but I don't know if, speaking of movies that not many people hear of, there's a foreign film that I'm very curious to check out called Son of Saul, only because I think it's a unique twist on a Holocaust film. And not that I'm a huge fan of that genre. I just think that, how they present the Holocaust as, you know, Jewish people in Holocaust movies are always kind of depicted as, like, getting along and, you know, oppressed. And this film presents it as, you know, some bickering and jealousy among those people. And I think that's a unique take of it, because I'm sure human nature, as you mentioned, you know, human nature, we all are going to not like people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that movie pans out. But definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's a little obscure, but, you know, I'm excited for it.
Well, I appreciate the recommendation. I'll definitely look into that, check that out.
Yeah.
One movie I have to say that was not on my list because I heard nothing about it, and I think nobody heard anything about it, is I just saw the movie 13 Hours last night with John Krasinski, made by Michael Bay. It was a great film, but before the movie there was a trailer for Cloverfield 2, and I personally loved Cloverfield 1. And not only is it Cloverfield 2, but it also stars John Goodman. So I don't know how they could go wrong there, and I'm extremely excited for it.
You know, funny you mentioned that. That popped up in my news feed online at work today, that there's a trailer out for it. I'm like, I'll be honest, I never watched the first one. I never saw the first one. I've heard mixed reviews about it. I just never checked it out. It's kind of one of those films that I put in the category of, well, I'll see it eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And definitely, I'll have to check out the trailer on that one to see what it's like then. But definitely, hey, folks, if you're listening at home, check out Joshua Singh's movie reviews. Top notch, man, and I appreciate a guy that's got good taste in movies. Can I put you on the spot and ask you what's the best horror movie ever?
Best horror movie?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be an odd choice, but I really love the original Psycho.
Okay. No, that's a good
one.
It's
brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this may be the reason, but I also really love the show Bates Motel. That's a great TV show, which is the prequel to Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But Psycho is just, I think it's what every, not just horror movie, but I think it's what every movie, should try to be when it comes to when it just comes to tension and suspense and twists, everything like that. I think it's a classic.
Yeah, okay, I'll definitely agree with you on that one. I'll definitely, again, not a huge horror fan, but I think Psycho is one of the best. Personally, myself, I think Halloween, the original one, was really, really well done, too, in terms of suspense and drama and whatnot. So
there you have it.
So, all right, with that, let's start to kind of maybe wrap some things up here real quick. We talked that you're going to be in New Ohio Wrestling down here January 23rd in Groveport, Ohio. But, Joshua, where else are you going to be? Where can fans find you wrestling in other areas? Where at?
Well, quite a few promotions have been popping up in Ohio, so my Ohio wrestling bookings have been pretty busy. On February 12th, I'll be at AIW. On February 20th, I'll be back at Mega. And then I'm also starting in a promotion called UXWA. They're going to be around. I'm not exactly sure of the dates, but I'll be wrestling there in Cleveland as well. So just really look out for me, especially if you're in the Ohio area. You know, mm-hmm. Ohio is pretty booming right now with indie wrestling, so I would definitely check out as many promotions as you can in Ohio.
Yeah, most definitely. All right. Well, with that, I always like to play a little game. All right. Now I'm going to catch you off guard with this, but the game is called Tag Feud or Job. So let me explain the rules to you, Joshua. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to name three individuals, three wrestlers, and you must pick one that you would like to tag with, one that you would like to feud with, and one you would like to job to. Now,
okay.
You will be jobbing to that individual, like, complete squash, man. Not getting anything in. And it's going to be night in, night out for an extended period of time.
Okay.
The same with feuding and tagging with that same person. You're going to be with them multiple nights in a row for, or excuse me, every night for multiple weeks in a row. Okay. So, and these individuals are in the prime of their career. So keep that in mind as well.
Okay.
The theme that I went with for these three individuals are, since we talked a little bit about your surprising athleticism, and I mean that respectfully, that some people might go, this guy is going to do moonsaults, but we talked about it, and it's impressive. So I went with three gentlemen, three wrestlers, who also kind of are in that, dare I say, pigeonhole, if you will. Bam Bam Bigelow, Dusty Rhodes, and Kevin Owens. So which one of those gentlemen would you tag with, feud with, and job to?
I would tag with Dusty Rhodes. I think that'd be awesome.
Okay, could I ask why? Just for the sheer awesomeness of it?
Well, I love him, and I don't think I would have the heart to fight him whether I was winning or not.
All right.
nor do I think I could even take myself seriously trying to wrestle him. Okay. He's just hilarious. So I would definitely have a fun tag team with him. I would feud with Kevin Owens. I think we're similar when it comes to our styles, obviously. And I think that we both are modern wrestlers, you know, when it comes to our style. And, you know, we both like to take things to the next level. So I think us feuding and challenging each other would make for great matches. And then I would job to Bam Bam, not to expose my youth or anything, but I honestly, he of the three would be the least that I have knowledge about.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen a lot of his matches, obviously, but he's never stood out. You know, he's never stood out to me or been one of my favorites. I mean, he's amazing, obviously. But I would job to him, which would obviously be an honor. But stick out to me the least out of the three.
Okay. Cool. Hey, that's solid, man. That's a solid list there. Solid reasoning. So, all right. With that, where can folks touch base with you on social media?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at True Scum Lord. Which again is, it's my goal to have the weirdest Twitter name possible. there's absolutely no connection with that name to my character or anything in my life. If you go to follow me on Twitter and I have a different Twitter handle, you know, that might be possible if I decide there's something even more odd. But yeah, that's on Twitter.
You'll keep the fans on their toes. Your fans on their toes. Which handle am I using today?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, on Facebook, you can add me at Joshua Singh. I have an Instagram. Don't really use it that much. Twitter's really where I'm most active, so I'll give me a follow on there. I'm trying to reach that 5,000 so I can get on Pro Wrestling Tees. But, you know, beyond that, you can always, anyone can feel free to message me on Facebook at any time. I respond to everybody.
Okay, cool. One last thing then. What right now is your immediate goal in professional wrestling right now?
For 2016, I think my number one goal, it's kind of more of an internal goal, and that's just to become, by the end of 2016, I just want to be a much more well-rounded performer and wrestler than I was at the beginning of the year. I mean, I think, you know, I'm very athletic. I'm glad that I can do the things I do, but I just think there's still a lot of work when it comes to being a 3D, fully dimensional, you know, fully worked out pro wrestler. And I've wrestled a lot of places, but regardless of where I wrestle, I want to be the best wrestler there. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I can't say it any better. Joshua Singh, thank you for coming on the PVD cast. I appreciate it, man.
And, no problem, man. Thank you for having me on. Great time.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. All right. So folks that are listening at home, I'm going to throw this to a quick break, and on the other side of that break, I'm going to wrap up this episode. So, if you will, please stick around. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with the Last Singh Warrior, Joshua Singh, and I hope you found it interesting. I'm pretty sure that if you would listen to Joshua's comments about his philosophy about independent professional wrestling and some of the things you should do and some of the things you should not do, I think that you will find a lot of commonalities with some of the more veteran individuals that have appeared on this particular podcast talking about pro wrestling. You know, I think that
you know, when you come into this business, you're taught certain things that are universals. And definitely, I think Joshua hit on those. And I think he also brought a different perspective as well on some topics. So I hope you found it interesting. I hope that you found it entertaining. And if I may, I'm going to just throw it out there. You need to go over to YouTube and check out some of Joshua's matches because, you know, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. And I think that a lot of wrestling fans would look at him and go, man, he's a big guy. He's going to be a brawler. Maybe he's going to be a mat technician. But, you know, I mean, he's got some mad skills and he could fly around with the best of them, man. Definitely. The first match I watched on YouTube, one with a 450 splash. And there was no slop in that either, man. It was tight. So definitely check him out. And even check out his movie reviews. I found them to be entertaining as well. So once again, if you need to get in touch with Joshua, you can do so by checking him out on Twitter, at True Scumlord. As he said, he likes to have very unique Twitter handles. And hey, that certainly is a unique one. But if you happen to be in town and you want to catch Joshua Singh in action, you can certainly do so at NOW2. I'm going to mention it one more time. The big event is January 23rd, Groveport, Ohio, Groveport, Madison, Middle School Central. It's out on East Main Street. The bell time is 7 p.m. You need information, simply go to facebook.com/New Ohio Wrestling. There's also a link on pvdcast.com for it. So just head on over there. Click. You can find out tickets, where tickets can be purchased, how much they are, some of the matches. And definitely come on out because not only will you be helping the Groveport Madison High School Marching Band, but you'll also be helping NOW to grow their product. And you'll enjoy a night of great wrestling. So, I mean, it's a win-win-win. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time for me to tell you about something that I think is cool. Something that I think you should check out. Something that I think is noteworthy. So that means it's time for Orlando Spades! Alright. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I can actually even do this Orlando's fave justice by describing it. But I'm going to try to do my best. About a week ago, I received an email with a link to an article from Belt Magazine. A friend of mine sent it to me, not a big wrestling fan, but he said, dude, I found this, I think you would find it interesting. So, Belt Magazine has an article that's entitled, Of Bibles and Body Slams, The Story of Flint Wrestler Leo Father Time Napier, written by Scott Atkinson. Now, I'm going to just quickly paraphrase and summarize this article. Basically, Leo Napier is a 63-year-old professional wrestler who started training 3 years ago when he was 60. The man is legally blind. He has had 3 strokes. How he ever got out of the absolutely awful neighborhood he grew up in is amazing. The gentleman, just bottom line, the gentleman refused to allow any obstacle, any excuse, any hindrance, he refused to allow that to stop him reaching his goal of becoming a professional wrestler. Now, granted, it took him 60 years, but damn it, man, he did it. And this article is amazing. And you read it and you start to hopefully think in your own mind about how inspirational his story is. And, you know, for those that have listened to my podcast throughout the years, you know that I'm a type of guy that believes that in today's society, there are excuses people use for not doing what they want to do with their lives. And this is just another prime example of somebody pursuing their dream, and damn it, they're not going to let anything stop them. And it's awesome. I put a link to it over on pvdcast.com. So just go over to the links tab, click on it. It's way down at the bottom of the page right before I give some thanks to some of the commercial support here. But it's right there. Belt Magazine. I got to give you guys props for publishing that. Great article. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's a good read. You definitely got to check that out. And so that will conclude Orlando's faves for this edition of the PVD cast. And let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. Say you read that article and you want to shoot me a comment, you can do so by sending me an email. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can tweet me at PVDMVP. And also, that's where you can find me on Instagram under that username of PVDMVP. Which, that being said, I'm going to wrap up this episode. So I thank you all for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later!